11 a.m. sharp here on Jones and Keefe. We asked, you delivered out there, a lot of you waiting patiently to make Jones and Keefe history. Rich, we've covered a lot of ground in the first month plus of the program.
What a journey.
Checked a lot of boxes, but a game of Who Said It is not yet something we've done with listener participation. So we needed you, the listeners out there. Right now, we're all jammed up. You continue to call in at 617-779-7937. As Keith pointed out to me, that is very much not the contest line.
No.
That's just our regular
standard line that you normally would call.
Standard game show line is what we'll refer
That's
to this
it.
Now.
Yep.
But so, Keith, we have a game of Who Said It today?
Hello. Do you want to play a game?
I do want to play a game. A lot of contestants want to play a game. Yes, it is a Who Said It. And we know Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla says a lot of things, says a lot of strange things, right? Players think he's a little odd.
Yeah.
He's a strange bird, Joe Mazzulla, right?
Yeah, he can talk a little crazy from time to time, sure.
So in the spirit of the media day being yesterday and basketball season returning, we are doing Who Said It, Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla, or a famous serial killer?
I'm sorry, wait a minute.
So it's an either or. So we're going to, it's either Joe Mazzulla said it or a famous serial killer.
I see.
This is one of those games that we may never play again, but it's at least what we're going to play right now. So I have a list of quotes here.
Okay, because
and let me tell you right now, some are head coach Joe Mazzulla, some are from a famous serial killer. So Jones, you will bring on a contestant, and then they will have to guess. And if they keep getting them right, they will stay on. If they get it wrong, they're out. Bragging rights on the line, and dare I say, a spot in the Jones and Keefe Hall of Fame.
Jones,
I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, no.
But I feel like that'd be a pretty nice honor.
Ring of Honor.
You're in the Ring of Honor.
Arthur Blank / Jones and Keefe Ring of Honor. We will induct you into the Arthur Blank Jones and Keefe Ring of Honor.
This is Who Said It? Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla, NBA champion, or famous serial killer.
That should be pretty easy.
I would think so.
I mean, you would think the head coach of the Celtics
wouldn't sound
not
similar.
A serial killer, but may sound like a serial killer. You wouldn't think that.
Question mark. Who do we got first?
Let's start it off with John in New Hampshire. Hello, John. You ready to play Who Said It today?
Yes, sir. Let's do this. Let's make history.
All right, John. Excellent attitude. First quote. They look like they're dead, but they come back to life. How do you shift your mentality? End quote. Who said it?
Joe Mazzulla.
That's correct.
Wow!
Joe Mazzulla said that.
Okay, they look like they're dead, but they come back to life. How do you shift your mentality?
That is good stuff, John.
See,
you are locked
that
in.
Sounds like a serial killer.
It sounds crazy.
That's
a crazy thing to
sounds
say.
Sounds a bit certifiable. Interesting. Okay, John, you remain on the line here for our next question.
All right. Quote number two. The word defend is a very passive-aggressive term. You go back to the animal kingdom. Some of the strongest animals don't defend. They're the most aggressive, and they attack the most. End quote.
Ooh, serial killer.
No, sorry, that was head coach Joe Mazzulla.
Sorry,
you
John.
You go back to the animal kingdom where some of the strongest animals don't defend. They're the most aggressive, and they attack the most.
So shout out to that one was from the Locked On podcast. The one before was from Pardon My Take.
Yes.
Joe Mazzulla doing the round. But thank you very much for coming out, John.
Thank you for playing.
No, thank you.
Okay. It's a tough game out there, but that is how you play. Who said it? Coach Mazzulla or a famous serial killer?
So
who do we got next?
These aren't all Joe. I mean, it's two for two so far, Joe Mazzulla.
Maybe they're all Twix. Who's to say?
They're just all Joe Mazzulla.
Maybe.
Quotes. It could be.
Maybe.
All right, find out who said it. You can dial us up 617-779-7937, just like Andy in Roslindale. Hello, Andy.
All right, Andy, welcome. The third one, quote, the fantasy that accompanies and generates the anticipation that precedes the crime is always more stimulating than the immediate aftermath of the crime itself. Who said it?
Serial killer.
You are correct.
Ah! Wow, yep. Andy.
That was legendary serial killer.
Let me tell you, Andy
Ted
said
Bundy
that.
Said that.
He said
Ted
that a little
Bundy.
Too quickly for my taste.
He knows his quotes.
That's some serial killer knowledge right there.
Wow. He knows his killer quotes. Very good.
He's like, stop, you don't need to finish. I'm very aware of Ted Bundy and his entire catalog.
Going up and down the state of Florida, just killing people. All right. Next quote. Number four. We're all villains in someone's eyes. We're all villains in someone's eyes.
Serial killer.
No, sorry. That was head coach and NBA champion Joe Mazzulla.
We're all villains in someone's eyes.
Yep. There you go. Thanks for coming out, though, Andy. Appreciate that.
Audio proof, Andy. All right. Keep dialing us up. 617-779-7937. We're going to work through the winners and losers here.
That's right.
Jack is in Portsmouth. You're next up here on Who
Welcome,
Said It,
Jack.
Jones and Keith.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for calling in, being a part of this, being a part of history today. We are playing Who Said It.
Love the show.
Appreciate that. Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla or a famous serial killer. Here we go. Quote, "We've all got the power in our hands to kill, but most people are afraid to use it. The ones who aren't afraid control life itself."
I gotta go serial killer on that one.
You are absolutely right. That is Richard Ramirez, a.k.a. the Night Stalker.
Ooh.
Haunted the state of California for nearly a decade.
Wow.
All right, very good. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next
one. That would have been scary if it was Joe Mazzulla.
That would have been terrifying.
That would have been...
I was going to say, that would have been something.
Would have been on brand, yeah.
People are thinking their cars, though. They're like, maybe that was.
That could be.
There's a chance that could have been
Joe Mazzulla, actually, yeah.
All right, next quote. "If the blue meanies are going to get me, they'd better get off their asses and do something." Who said it?
Joe Mazzulla.
Sorry, that would be the Zodiac Killer. That was the Zodiac Killer said that.
Son of a gun, Jack.
Thank you, Jack, for coming out.
Jack, thank you. Good try.
You know what's funny is everybody's gotten the first one right, second one wrong.
That's a good point.
So far.
The Blue Meanies. That was Joe Mazzulla famously the New York Knicks.
The Blue Meanies.
That's how he refers to...
Get off their asses.
The Knicks, yes.
Yeah, that was the Zodiac Killer. All right, coming in. Now, who do we got next, Joe? Let's bring another contestant
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got somebody else on here.
Al in Rhode Island, hello.
All right, Al.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You ready to play Who Said It, Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla, or a famous serial killer?
Let's do it.
Okay. Quote, "People are going to say the target is on your back, but I hope it's right on your forehead, right in between our eyes. I hope I can see the red dot."
Joe Mazzulla.
Ah!
Absolutely correct.
People are going to say the target's on our back, but I hope it's right in our forehead, in between our eyes. I hope I can see the red dot.
That was from the Locked On podcast, right? John Corrales?
Yes, John Corrales doing great work getting the psychotic comments.
Yeah. He's got a few of them. All right, Al, very good. Let's get
Joe Mazzulla,
to the next one. Here we go. Quote, "One of the things in most submissions is you do want to find a comfort level because there usually is a way out. You just can't see the way out because of the stress that you're under, because of the panic you're under. Your breathing skyrockets and you don't even notice the exit strategy because you're in a disadvantaged situation." Who said it?
What do you think, Al?
Joe Mazzulla.
Wow! All right, Al. Very good.
Hey, you know, it's a little dark, but like one of the things in most submissions is you do want to find a comfort level because there usually is a way out. You just can't see the way out because of the stress that you're under or because of the panic that you're under. So like your breathing skyrockets and you don't even notice the exit strategy because you're in a disadvantaged situation.
Sounds serial killer-ish.
It does. Yeah. All right, we have a couple more quotes. Wow. Al, nice job. Let's get to the next one. Here we go. Quote, "When this monster entered my brain, I will never know, but it is here to stay. How does one cure himself? I can't stop it. The monster goes on and hurts me as well as society. Maybe you can stop him. I can't."
Serial killer.
Way to go. That was Dennis Rader, the BTK. Known famously,
what does that stand for?
Bind, torture, kill. Yeah, he was a bad guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's a real bad guy. Not to bring everybody down, but this is the game we're playing. All right, finally, and Al, this is winner-take-all spot in the Jones and Keefe Ring of Honor. Quote, "In this hole lives the wicked king." In this hole lives the wicked king.
Joe Mazzulla.
No. Sadly, Al, that was the son of Sam, David Berkowitz. Hey, great stuff, Al. I think you are the winner.
Okay.
You got the most right. I think we got to give it to Al. You got the most right.
Al, anything you'd like to say to all the people out there? I think you're the winner today on Jones and Keefe, the original Who Said It, Joe Mazzulla, or a serial killer. Anything you'd like to say to the people of Austin out there?
I just love you guys, love this show, and I listen all the time.
Oh, that couldn't have worked out any better. Scripted that.
What a sign off.
Thanks, Al.
I just like
that's how you play, folks.
I mean, Al did a great job. I just like that he thinks the Celtics head coach, maybe after a loss like game four against Dallas,
in this
was
hole
like,
lives the wicked king. And the dog told me to do it.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
That's pretty good stuff, though.
When you really, can you read me a couple of the real Joe Mazzulla quotes again? Or can we play a couple of them?
Yeah, like, we're all villains and someone, whatever.
These are real,
Nick's got them.
Real Joe Mazzulla quotes.
Yeah.
They're insane.
They are.
They're okay. Little... They look like they're dead, but they come back to life. How do you shift your mentality?
I imagine.
Yeah.
We're all villains in someone's eyes.
I would
We're
imagine.
We're all villains in someone's eyes.
These are words uttered by some very bad people.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that Joe Mazzulla is a bad person, just he talks a little crazy from time to time.
I like how in the whole contest, there was only one that the person didn't like have to think. Everybody else was like, oh, I don't know, it could be either one.
Yeah, right.
The guy, awesome. Guy kind of smoked the Ted Bundy one. I think he may have seen the Ted Bundy files or whatever.
The one guy was very well informed. A little too well informed.
Maybe, yep.
On Ted Bundy.
Keep our eyes on that guy.
People
are going to say the target's on our back, but I hope it's right in our forehead in between our eyes. I hope I can see the red dot.
So he's won me over, though. I should point this out.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Mazzulla, 2 years ago, I was at the front of the line being like, he doesn't know substitutions. He doesn't know timeouts. The guy's a mess, and they're winning in spite of him. Completely won me over. I know he's, like, obsessed with the three-point shot, but so is the entire league. And it's funny, this last playoff run, it seemed like nationally people started to catch on to how strange he is.
Yeah.
Anytime I walk down North End, I'm like, say your prayers.
We could have used that one, too. That's really good.
Now we're using some of our, for the next game.
Yeah, seriously.
Now we're using some of our inventory.
No, but like he has become, like, I am a fan, and I love that, like, he is the Celtics coach, and everybody around the league looks at this guy, they're like, what is he thinking? Like, what is he saying?
It's absolute proof that you can win, and it doesn't matter. You can talk like a serial killer and win, and we don't care. Yeah, we actually kind of like it.
Joe Mazzulla is an absolute sicko.
When he got on my radar right off the rip, his first year, the first week or two coaching, do you remember him, the way he chewed his gum?
Yes.
It was diabolical.
I was on the night after that game. I had two takeaways. Number one, this guy's never heard of even thinking of calling a timeout.
No.
And number two, he
chews gum like a lunatic. He's the son of Sam of gum chewers.
He chews gum like you would wish upon no one else, his poor dentist. 617-779-7937. Our buddy JP in North Providence has thoughts on history here on Jones and Keefe. Yes, JP?
Jones, Keefe, I did want to try the contest. Just one quick suggestion. Next time you run it, serial killer Joe Mazzulla or Adam Jones.
So let me tell you.
Jones, yeah, some Jones quotes in there.
JP, the text line said maybe this was you as well. Jones being a proven psychopath, are there any of these quotes directly from him?
That's also a good
point. That's not a bad game. Jones or a serial killer?
I don't know. That.
I don't know. I shudder to think of what I've said in the past.
We could cook some. We got plenty of material. We could go back and listen to some of it. But yeah, no, Mazzulla, you're right. It's the perfect example. Like, you win.
No one cares.
Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's our guy. He's our guy. Yeah, he's a little odd.
He's the worst coach ever.
He's not the worst coach ever. There was a time people didn't like him. I agreed with a lot of the criticisms in year one. But it doesn't mean he can't get better. He got better.
What about him taping his mouth shut when he sleeps?
That's a crazy thing. But apparently it's supposed to be good for your breathing,
right?
No,
I actually now...
That's scary.
I know people in my personal life, like friends of mine, who do this.
Who do that?
It's for sleep apnea, yeah.
But like, what if your nose gets clogged?
You know what I say to cat? Tough, I snore. That's what I say. I'm not taping my mouth shut. I'm sorry.
That's why we bought a couch.
Yeah, exactly.
Tape the mouth shut.
I snore. You got to deal with that. There's plenty of things I didn't realize I signed up for when I started dating you, marrying you. This is one you got to deal with. I am not taping my mouth shut when I sleep. Sorry.
Yeah, that is. He's got a few things, but he also stopped the gum. I mean, we started talking about the gum. He like got rid of the gum.
A little self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
He should have leaned in on it.
But he also.
I would have respected him right from the jump if he was like, just more gum.
What was the...
Just big league chew. There's big league chew on the sideline, just jamming it in there, packing a lipper.
What was the thing that I think it was Sam Hauser told people? Oh, he's like, Joe Mazzulla shows the team clips of like whales and hyenas.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
like, that's like a predator.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he shows them like animal highlights. Like in a basketball
just
practice.
Ripping apart a gazelle.
So you see what they're doing there? See how they're working together?
You see how they're on the kill? The lion killed that, but you see how they're all in there feasting?
Joe, those...
Sam Hauser, that's you in garbage time.
Those hyenas need that to live, otherwise they're going to die.
Right.
Apply that to basketball.
Yeah. Right.
But if you win...
Peyton Pritchard, that's you in garbage time. Go out there, you're a hyena on the kill is what you are.
It's
feasting
perfect.
On the dead carcass.
Because if they lose in the first round, you're like, and this psycho had him watching hyena videos. Instead, they win the title. It's like, how great is
More
that?
More hyena
More
videos.
Hyena whale tape.
Okay. All right, so we got...
That's how you play.
That's first game show in Jones and Keefe history, I feel like.
There's no fouls in the war. Either die or you don't.
That's Sam Hauser.
Oh, that's Sam Hauser. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably what Missoula told him. Son of a thousand warrior, you had to die, you don't.
Son of Sam Hauser. Maybe it's a new game, Keith. 617-779-7937. We will get to misleading. We'll revisit the leads from the Greg Hill Show today. Some takeaways, I believe, from our interview with Tommy Curran.
Yes.
And Drake May. So we'll get to that coming up at the end of the hour. We're going to have Terp jump in. He was at Celtics Media Day yesterday. Terp. Some Celtics thoughts, including some hot takes from Perk. Perk v. Celtics, the rivalry we didn't know we needed. We'll get to that.
No one in the NBA is scared right now of the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. I'm just letting you know this. This is why the New York Knicks went out and they went and got Mikal Bridges and they upgraded their roster. This is why the Philadelphia 76ers went out and got Paul George and upgraded their roster. They're coming into training camp feeling great. And to be honest with you, let's be real. A lot of people was looking at the path that the Celtics went through to win the NBA championship and say that they actually had an easy path for the competition and the teams that they played that were not healthy. So again, I love it that the Celtics are coming in with a chip on their shoulder, especially the two young superstars in Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum.
I was Perk yesterday on the Celtics. I got to be honest, I don't fully follow.
I don't at all.
I like Perk.
I do too.
And I think there might be something to the fact the league doesn't fear the Celtics. I think there might be something to that. I don't think he defended it very well by saying the Knicks don't fear the Celtics, so they went out and got Mikal Bridges.
That's why they immediately went out and got Bridges.
The Sixers don't fear the Celtics, so they went out and got Paul George. That sounds like teams that fear the Celtics.
Correct. Otherwise, you would just say, let's get healthy and we can beat the Celtics.
Right.
They know that they can't beat the Celtics when healthy.
So, like, look, do people fear Tatum and Brown? I don't know. The Celtics are very talented, but do they fear them? There might be something to that, and we can explore it here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We made history earlier this hour. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app. Who said it? Joe Mazzulla or a famous serial killer? I think it went quite well.
It did.
Rave review is out there. You can check it out. AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. One update quickly. Gerard Mayo is speaking right now. He said the Patriots have officially put Juwan Bentley on IR.
Mm.
Not that that's unexpected.
Nope.
But he is officially done for the year. He says anything else, we'll pass it along. But we have Justin Turpin. From WEEI. He was at Celtics Media Day yesterday. What's up, Terp?
What's going on, guys? Great job on the Joe Mazzulla segment.
So you had
a couple of me stumped.
Well, I was going to say, you sit in on all these press conferences, and even some of those you were unaware of. Like, which one?
Yeah, that jiu-jitsu one when he's talking about getting out of the headlock or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that
submission.
One, I was like, did he really say that? That sounded like a serial
killer. He wants you to
killer.
Bend the knee and submit is what he wants. Yeah, and he's not afraid. Sometimes when you're at a not advantageous position, there's a way out.
Exit strategy.
Yes.
But it seems like the players all, almost across the board, kind of like think he's odd, but also like now I think they respect him. Like, I don't think there's an issue there. Like, I think they respect who he is, but also kind of laugh at some of the things that he says and does.
Oh, yeah. They know he's totally crazy.
Correct.
I mean, Drew Holiday brings it up probably every press conference. He's like, he's just a sicko. What he does is crazy. But
I like it.
To your point, like, the respect that he commands from that locker room is incredible. And it says a lot because you got all that talent that bought into his message in a franchise that was already one of the most decorated in sports, and Joe Mazzulla came in and completely changed the culture. That takes a special leader to do that. So he does his job. Mm-hmm. He does it well.
I heard it was a debate on the Greg Hill Show today. We'll get to misleading, by the way, coming up 20 minutes from now, not even, on Jones and Keefe. We'll revisit the leads and give our thoughts on something that, Tommy Curran actually said on our show yesterday, flesh that out more. We do that every day at 11:45. They had a discussion today, and I was with most of the show outside of Wiggy about the Celtics and their roster. They're the most talented roster in the league. But Wiggy was making the point Joe Mazzulla is the best coach in the league, which is maybe a bit too far for me. Do you think last year was more about Mazzulla changing the culture, or do you think they changed the culture for Joe Mazzulla, i.e. some of what they subtracted? Marcus Smart headlining it, but also Grant Williams, you know, players like this that, I don't know, didn't quite understand their role on the team. They felt like they were more than they probably are as players. I think getting that out of the way helped Joe Mazzulla a lot. Not so much he changed it, but it was changed for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And for a coach, like, you're nothing without your players. And Joe Mazzulla always says that. So they have to buy in, and they have to be the ones that actually adapt to the change. And they did that. So it worked out for Joe. But they're always the first to give him credit in that he changed the mindset. He set the temperature for the team right away, and they all just kind of followed his lead. So it does make sense, but I think he came in and really kind of forced the change in a way where he said, we're kind of going to do it this way. We're going to focus on the things that maybe you lose sight of, like those mental things. And this team really needed it because obviously they have the talent, but who's going to push them to kind of focus on the things outside of the X's and O's and, you know, kind of bring them all together?
Yeah, it seems like everything Brad Stevens has done has been the right call. And that was one that in the real time, you know, he hired Ime Udoka, even though the players, I think, had input on it, but that looked like the right call. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. They have to pivot to Joe Mazzulla, and you're like, how long is this going to last? You know, I thought there was going to be somebody else in on the staff. Even like Damon Stoudemire, I thought might be a better option, but then he leaves, they stick with Mazzulla, and that's worked out. So Brad Stevens, like, decent coach. Unreal GM, like that. Everything he's done in the last 2 years, you know, bringing in Drew Holiday, bringing in Porzingis, like all those moves that he has made have been the right moves.
Yeah, he has not missed.
No,
sticking with Joe too. I mean, the pressure was on after that first year when they go down 0-3 to Miami, almost come back, but the pressure was on because the reality is this team has been facing finals or bust expectations for the last 3 years, ever since they made it. Obviously, they get over the hump last year, but for Brad to stick with Joe through all that pressure and say, this is our guy, he is the best chance, he gives this organization the best opportunity to win, he stuck by it and didn't let the outside noise affect him, and that's probably one of his biggest moves is sticking with Joe because it got him over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wanted him fired after year one, and so I was wrong about that. Score one for Brad Stevens, and right, he hasn't missed on much. If you have Celtics questions for Terp, 617-779-7937, discussing the Boston Celtics Media Day yesterday. They open, what, October 4th?
Yeah.
In Abu Dhabi? What is that? Is that a preseason game?
Yeah,
is that a regular season game? I'm sorry, preseason
game. Preseason games.
So they get their preseason schedule going. So it's right around the corner. Again, 617-779-7937. If you want to follow Terp, Justin Turpin from WEEI at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. When it comes to Perk and his comments, do you agree to an extent? Not with how he explained it, but do you think teams fear the Celtics? Because I kind of agree with him on that. I don't think teams are like, oh my God, we're so afraid of the Celtics. They're wildly talented. They're the defending champs. They're the best team in the NBA. But I don't think teams are, to use a different word than fear, I don't think they're intimidated by the Celtics. I think that's what he's getting at, and I agree with him on that.
I mean, 42 of their 64 wins came from double digits, and they just went 16-3 in the postseason. This team is terrifying.
Yeah, I think they kind of do. I don't think guys like playing against them because if you're a guard, you're like Drew Holiday and Derek White, so that's annoying. That's a long night to go up against those guys. Plus, the way they can score quickly, you can get blown out at any moment. So it might not be Curry, Thompson, Durant. It might not be, you know, LeBron, Wade, Bosh for those 2 years. I would think most teams are afraid of this team.
I wonder. I think a lot of people, and you hear it from Perk, you hear this from Shaq as well. Shaq has said this a bunch. We've played the clips in the past. Well, who'd they play in the postseason? That's not their fault.
That's not
the
their fault.
The funny thing about Shaq, though, is he picked the Mavs. That was the funny thing. He picked the Mavs.
They all did. They all took the Mavs.
But I think there's something, too. For me to really fear you, no one's taking away their championship. They won. Of course they won. And it's not their fault who they played. I'm not saying that. But I bet there's a lot of players in the league that go, well, yeah, they beat the Heat without Butler. They beat the Pacers without Halliburton.
Yeah, but if any of those teams were healthy, would you pick the other team?
No, like, I would like to see them go through a fun.
No, but maybe they will. Like, they didn't have Porzingis for most of that time.
But in the regular season, they were top five in point differential all time.
Again, I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm saying are teams intimidated by them? I don't think they are. I'm with Perk on that.
I would say they definitely are, just because of how talented they are.
And you see the changes that teams made. You know, I think they are now.
Look at teams loading up specifically at wing. What do the Celtics have? Two of the best wings in the league.
Yeah, but that's not a fear or intimidation. That's because they're not as the Celtics are the most talented team. There's no, I wouldn't question that.
Well, so like, what teams would you say were feared? Like, what would be a team that's, what's an example?
I do think the Golden State Warriors were a feared team.
For like the 2 years.
I think,
with Durant. Prior to that, they were like, oh, they can shoot a lot of threes.
I think LeBron's Heat team. I mean, I think people looked at them and they're like, they are a wildly talented team, and they're a team that we can't rattle their cage. I still think you can rattle the Celtics' cage. I do still believe that.
I think they have so many layers where, like, they proved that Tatum wasn't even the Finals MVP or the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and they still won. And so, like, I think the addition of Drew Holiday was the most important thing because he is, like, I don't think the rest of the team can ever be rattled when Drew Holiday's on your team or he's on the court. Like, everything's just so much calmer there. Plus, it's like a nightmare for the other team. So I just think they're too talented, 1-6, that I think teams are probably intimidated, afraid. Like, these guys are gonna go. They're pros. They're gonna win or lose the game. I don't know if they're scared necessarily, but
I would pick the Celtics in a healthy matchup. Let's say every team is healthy for a 7-game series. I'm taking the Celtics every time.
Me too, but that's on talent.
I'm with you guys too. I'm taking the Celtics every time too. And you look at, like, they have guys that have been there. Guys like Drew Holiday, like you mentioned, he was just a steady hand that they needed all throughout the postseason. And you look at, like, that Indy series, like, he won them the 2 games in Indy. I mean, he had the big offensive rebound in Game 4, Game 3 had the steal. Like, they're just so loaded with talent and guys that have now been there. And the thing is Tatum and Brown might not even be in their primes yet.
But, like,
they're still on the younger side.
Was it Stephen A. Smith and Wilbon last year during one of the finals where, like, I think they're just getting annoyed that the Celtics are winning? And they started going off about, well, I mean, if the Knicks were healthy, now all of a sudden, the Knicks are now in. Yeah, right. They beat the Knicks all the time. But they were like, oh, they started naming all these teams. And you're like, none of those teams in the only team in the East that really had, in my opinion, a chance to beat them were the Bucks.
Fine. But the Celtics have been the most talented team in the league for like 3 years running. But they didn't win the titles the 2 years before.
Yeah,
that.
But none of them were, this was the best version of the team by far.
I agree with that. Yeah. But we had seen the Celtics. Something else was off with the Celtics besides their talent. And so
they had no team, they had no guy on the team that had ever won a title before.
That goes back to Joe. I think setting the tone and really making them focus on the things that they did wrong. For years it was their own shortcomings. It was their own fault. They'd lose focus. They'd not have the intensity needed in the playoff games. That never happened last year.
But you think that's Udoka's fault?
No, I don't think so. And I think Ime was a great coach
Brad's
as well.
Fault? Like I don't necessarily
I'm telling you, I think it's a you had Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart, little Isaiah Thomas. Then you bring in Drew Holiday.
No, it's a better fit.
And on top of it, Tatum and Brown are also another crack at it. Losing in the finals, right? LeBron had to lose in the finals. Durant had to lose in the finals. A lot of guys lose first in the finals before they come back and win. And so I think Tatum and Brown also just got better because they were another year or 2 years older.
What was your takeaway yesterday, Terp? You came in after the show. We meet as we always do after the show. And you came in with your big takeaway yesterday. What jumped out to you from Media Day?
Well, one of the first things was how chipper Jaylen Brown was. He was so just happy to be there, walked on with a smile, and really maintained that. Even the first question was about the Olympics. And even while he was answering that, he made a joke first.
You want to play it? Do we have that, Nick or Billy, if we can? And maybe we can't. But you're right. We had the answer from Jaylen yesterday. Asked about the Olympics, and he was joking around. That's not how Jaylen had at least seemed this offseason. Here it is.
Not getting called on for the Olympic roster there. How did that make you feel, and
God
are you carrying any
question
of those?
Number one.
Right off the bat. Not a lot of chances here.
You have to warm up a little?
That's how the season's going to go, man.
Okay, so we don't need the rest of it. He went on and didn't answer it, but that's an example
like
of what you're talking about.
The pressure of winning that was just bearing down on him is now alleviated, and he doesn't really have to worry about that. He can just play his game. Like, the expectations are obviously still there. You know, no one's going to be happy with just one championship, and that's another thing I took away from it. But the pressure of, like, winning is just gone. Like, he's now done it. He's proved himself. He's proved that contract. Like, I know there's still work to be done, but he's not facing the pressure that he was used to doing. And this was only one day, so he could revert back to his
close. I actually love it, because normally when a team wins a title, it's like, all right, how are you going to be motivated to win it the next year? Because now everyone's picking you. Are you going to do it? And in the NBA, teams do it all the time. But we've seen recently, you know, Jokic couldn't get it done. Obviously, LeBron, because he had a fake one in the Mickey Mouse bubble title, so they weren't able to do it the next year, shockingly. But the Bucks couldn't do it a second time. But the difference now is your two best players have a ton of motivation, because everyone's still clowning on Tatum for not being Finals MVP or Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And then Jaylen Brown, the whole Olympic thing. And then also Tatum is on the Olympic team but doesn't play on the Olympics. So, like, those two guys are as motivated as anybody, even though they just won the title. Well, I love that.
And this team goes with them. We saw it last year. They were the ones that set the tone when they were talking about sacrifice from the start. So if they're willing to continue to do that, continue to defer, evolve as playmakers, and really take a back seat in terms of, you know, not dominating the scoring every night, because it's going to be someone else every night. And that's what we saw last year. That's what made this team so good. So if they can stick with that and realize it really doesn't matter about the personal accolades, it's about winning a championship. If they can stick with that, they're going to be just fine.
It doesn't matter about the personal accolades. What were you telling me, Keith, before the show? What did Tatum get for 2 tattoos this offseason?
Tatum got 2 new tattoos, and I'm certainly not one to make fun of bad tattoos, but he has one that is him kissing the Larry O'Brien trophy.
That's a team. I mean, it's him, that's a team thing.
It's a picture of him on himself.
But it's a team thing. You won a championship. That's team.
Like I said, I'm not going to make fun of any tattoos.
Yeah.
Who amongst us doesn't have bad tattoos? But so then he also has one of the All-Star Game MVP trophy.
Oh.
Well, that one I kind of get because it's named after Kobe, but...
So you have a good twist on it.
I kind of get that.
I'd rather just get like a Kobe jersey or something on there.
Personally,
then,
I would maybe, never get a tattoo of myself.
Maybe get Kobe. Instead of Kobe's All-Star
Game. The All-Star Game MVP trophy.
So that's a personal accolade. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, a little bit.
So that's weird.
He should have gotten two gold medals and shown Jaylen Brown. Look at these.
Yeah, check these out.
These never come off.
You think that, I mean, obviously you do, but you don't think any of that with Jaylen yesterday was staged? Like, hey, I got to come out and laugh it off. I got to be smiling. I got to be happy. I got to show myself to be a certain way, because if I come in and I look pissed or I look, you know, not like I'm having a good time, people are going to read into that. Do you think any of that was staged?
I really don't. And another thing that really stuck out with me from Jaylen is he was talking about how great his summer was. And he mentioned in there that it was great
to see courtside with the...
He was living at Zaxby's, everything he was doing.
Sure, but
doing all right.
But do we think he had a great summer? Because I don't buy that for a second.
I think he absolutely did.
You do?
Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Yeah, he won the NBA Finals MVP.
I know. I think he kind of did, because I think
his summer was he got left off the Olympic team and he was pissed about it.
But then
that was
won a championship.
But it was almost unanimous that people thought it was a dumb decision.
Yeah,
he got more credit for not being on the team than if he was on the team, I think.
Yeah.
He became like I don't know if sympathetic figure is the right word, but everybody was like,
no, he was. He was a sympathetic
figure.
How
dumb is it? Like, the finals MVP, three guys on his team are on the Olympic team and he's not. I think it kind of worked out well for him.
Yeah.
Almost better than going to the Olympics and not playing.
And not to parse out summer.
I think Tatum had a worse summer than Brown.
Yeah, look, I don't think either one had a good summer. Okay. Like not to parse out the word summer, but to me...
June, July, August.
No, that's their break, not on the calendar, but after the season, that's their summer, that's their time off. I don't think it was great for him, but he said he had a good summer.
And he did, and he made sure to point out that part of that was seeing his teammates win gold medals. And I think that is something that made this team really... easy to kind of root for from a fan perspective, is that they genuinely liked each other. They genuinely wanted to see each other succeed. And it was a big reason they ended up winning the championship, because their chemistry was off the charts. And that's something Brad talked about yesterday, where they have a special chemistry and that's important. So we didn't really want to tinker with the roster. And he stuck by that with the trade deadline too. When he was trying to maneuver moves at the trade deadline last year, he was really prioritizing the character of the people they were trying to bring in. So I think this chemistry does mean a lot. And Jaylen, I thought it was sincere when he said that he was happy to see his teammates win a gold medal.
First year, no real changes in forever.
Right.
Like, and since Tatum and Brown have been here, they've had all kinds of big swings, like Hayward and Ert Kyrie and
so
everybody else.
So there's similar no changes.
Pretty much, I mean, Lonnie Walker, kind of like Lonnie Walker.
Oh, I kind of like
nice
that signing too.
Addition.
Me too.
Two other big topics, I guess. One, just quickly, Porzingis seems to be, I mean, he's going to miss a lot of time because he's Porzingis, but maybe a little bit ahead of schedule, I guess.
Yeah, it seems that way. Brad Stevens said he was surprised and seemed pretty happy about it. And Porzingis said he was already running. He was in the gym doing some light contact. But the way I look at it is, like, there's just no way that they're going to adjust that timetable. Like, they're just, the way they handle him is just
You don't need him, like, though. You literally don't need him.
They proved last year they don't
they
need him.
Literally don't.
What would the rush possibly
it's
be?
It's overkill. And then the big offseason topic with the Celtics is they are for sale. And does that impact anything for this season? Is that going to be a distraction? Does that have any impact on this upcoming season?
Doesn't seem like it will this year. I mean, Brad Stevens said it was business as usual. And business as usual for this team being in the second apron really isn't much anyway. They're limited in free agent signings. They can only offer the veteran minimum. They can't really trade too much because they're restricted in there. They can't do in-season buyouts. They can't do sign and trade. So it's already restricted as is. And Brad Stevens said it's business as usual. Drew Holiday was asked about it, didn't really have an answer, so.
I think that's fair. Like, year one, that's not.
It should be the same for all those
it
guys.
It should not really be an issue. I'm as skeptical as they come, and I'll even grant that, year one. All right, so Terp, let's put you in the hot seat here.
Oh.
You can't pick injuries. Injuries is not an option for you, because injuries are for every single team, as the Celtics found out last year in the playoffs. So injuries are not an option. If they get held back and they don't defend their title, what is it? What's the reason they don't win?
It'd be complacency and getting in their own way, like they have in years past. Obviously, they didn't do that last year and they got over the hump. But if they revert back to the old Celtics making uncharacteristic mistakes, well, uncharacteristic based off last year, but if they revert to the old Celtics, not showing up to the big games, kind of letting bad games spiral, which wasn't a problem last year, but if they revert to that, then that'd be the biggest problem, because obviously health is the one, but we're going to exclude that. So I would say just reverting back to the old Celtics, that'd be the answer.
Okay. He's Justin Turpin. Check out his work at WEEI. Follow him on Twitter.
Shop Turp.
At Justin M. Turpin.
Also, one-fifth of the Bozo TD parlay.
That's
so if you won $1,200, right. He one-fifth the credit
good
right
job,
there.
Turp. Who'd you have? Godwin?
Chris Godwin.
That's yeah, he's nice. The, lead,
only
the leadoff
touchdown
hitter.
For the Bucks, I think.
Yeah, he was
that's
the leadoff hitter last weekend.
Yeah, that's nice.
Got
three
it
straight
going.
Games with the touchdown. Maybe ride the hot hand again. We'll see.
No, don't go. Come on, Turp. Let's not get crazy.
We ride.
Yeah.
That's what we do. All right, Turp, we appreciate it. We'll get to misleading. We'll revisit some comments this morning that actually stem from our show yesterday. Tommy Kern about Drake May. Greg Hill Show is reading into it. Let's react to that next.
It's time for misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was. So
on Jones and Keith.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's misleading. Every day at 11:45, we revisit something from the Greg Hill Show. Typically the leads, not always the leads. And this morning, Chris Scheim had a takeaway from, well, something Tom Curran told us yesterday.
Yeah.
That the Patriots are not playing Drake May because they're worried about him going out there and looking like, quote unquote, a boob.
Doesn't want him to look like a boob. So at least Curran is not of the, well, you don't want him to get physically hurt. Like he, even Curran with us was like, it's football. Guys are going to get hurt. You can't predict when injuries are going to happen.
No, in fact, he's actually said Drake May is going to play soon because they're going to get Jacoby Brissett
correct.
Hurt. Yes.
Correct. Right. So at least he's one of the – now, some that don't want May to play, I think, are really worried about his physical health. But Curran's making it – like, he just don't want to make him look like he's in over his head. Now, that's where I just look at Alex Van Pelt and be like, all right, you're the offensive coordinator. You're the guy who's been in the league a long time. So maybe design something so he doesn't look like a boob. Isn't that more on the play caller? Like, I feel like Mike McDaniel did a pretty good job making Tua not look like that. I think Cliff Kingsbury is doing a really good job of making Jaden Daniels not look like that. And also Jaden Daniels, which is where this conversation kind of, I think, started, he's looked a lot better. And Scheim even referenced this. You know, there was a couple of big throws that Daniels had in the game on Monday night that, who knows, if he doesn't play the first two games of the season, if he's not getting these live reps, maybe he doesn't make those same reads,
that's a good
same
point.
Adjustments.
So
I think he should be playing. And then he also went... I'm not saying he take snaked me. I'm just saying I had a similar thought.
Uh-oh.
I don't think it was a take snake.
Uh-oh.
But basically, if you don't want to play Drake May, you must have not wanted them to even take him. And maybe there are a few people that are that way. Then fine. Then that can be your stance. Then
you,
great. At least it's more consistent.
You kind of were there, right, in draft season?
I kind of was.
You didn't love the idea of taking a quarterback?
No, I wasn't. I loved Marvin Harrison Jr. so much, but I wasn't. Like mad about Drake May. I'm like, all right, if that's the direction you choose, quarterback is still the most important position, then let's go. Let's see. Like build a team around him the best you can, but he doesn't need to redshirt. I am very anti-redshirting a quarterback. And then it turns back into the, well, these five guys sat and they're great. It's like, all right, well, these five guys didn't and they're great. So then you just fight back and forth. I'm saying for this team right now, this Patriots team, watching Jacoby Brissett versus seeing what Drake May can do, learning with some of the young receivers, the young offensive line, Ramondre, like, I think he should be out there right now. I think we've seen enough of Jacoby Brissett. It's time to turn it over to Drake May. I don't think he's going to be broken because that's the big argument. He's going to be either mentally or physically broken. I'm not going to go there.
See, I think the points are both interesting. Number one, that maybe he's already making adjustments and getting better. This happened with Stroud last year. Stroud was terrible the first 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Last year as a starter, and that's another play caller who's tailor-making it to his quarterback.
Yeah, Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Turned down jobs this past offseason. So, okay, maybe he's already making adjustments, which, again, Stroud did a year ago. You can't make any adjustments if you're not out there playing, which is why I maintain – you learn more by playing than watching. I know at least Alex Van Pelt feels differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another point you brought up yesterday, Keith. Cliff Kingsbury for Jaden Daniels is a better match than Alex Van Pelt and a rookie quarterback. And Kingsbury came from college. I think that speaks to some of that. He's also coached a rookie before. Say what you will about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had a pretty good rookie year statistically for the Arizona Cardinals.
Were they made when the playoffs, what, year two or three?
Cliff Kingsbury, and they eventually made the postseason. I don't think Kingsbury's great as a head coach.
No.
But he might be a good fit as an offensive coordinator. And the idea of meshing your play caller, meshing your coordinator with your rookie, I think is important. And I think that's another reason why the Patriots failed in the offseason, bringing in a guy like Alex Van Pelt. I don't feel like a pro-style offense was really going to be the fit for any of these three quarterbacks coming in, whether you got Caleb Williams
right.
or Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever you got. I think you knew that you were going to want to tailor make some of these college schemes. Because when they brought in Van Pelt, the only reason I bring that up, they didn't know who they were drafting. But you knew you were going to have a quarterback there available for you. And that should have been front and center in the hiring process. And I think that we all said it in real time. It's not a second guess, but in retrospect, it's glaring.
Yeah.
Comparing the Drake May situation whenever he gets on the field to right. Jaden Daniels in Washington.
I mean, no matter what you were doing with the offensive coordinator, it was either, hey, you need to fix Mac Jones, you need to make it work with Bailey Zappe, or you need to develop a rookie quarterback. Either way, like, it's daunting for any of it, but then you end up with your 13th choice. So that was very uninspiring when they brought in Alex Van Pelt. He has a lot of NFL experience. He does not have a lot of play calling experience, and he doesn't have a lot of developing a young quarterback experience. He even told us that himself. So, yeah, he's been in the league a long time, but doing this specifically, like Cliff Kingsbury, that's all he's done. Mm-hmm. Go back to college, whether it was Mahomes or Manziel or Kyler Murray or all these different guys that he's worked with along the way. That's been his thing. And now Jaden Daniels. So, yeah, that was – and we knew it at the time. You know, they were bringing in all these other guys. They brought in a few guys from the McVay tree. They brought in Kubiak. They brought in a few – you know, like, yeah, these are all – way more interesting, way more intriguing, way more upside. And then they're like, none of these guys want the job, and or we're not offering a lot of money for the job, so we'll take the free guy
right.
in Van Pelt.
And I don't love every guy they brought in the offseason to interview for the job, but did you want them or Alex Van Pelt? Like, I would have said them. They were all actual play callers and or on actual offenses that I wanted a piece of. And look, the Browns got a lot out of multiple quarterbacks. I think they started five different quarterbacks last year.
Yeah, and they still fired him.
But was right, they still didn't keep him. Was that him or was it Stefanski? Like, you really didn't know with Van Pelt. 617-779-7937. That's misleading each and every day. Here on Jones and Keefe, you can jump in on the quarterback timeline, which we'll get further into here. A reminder, our NFL talk on WEEI is brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. Is this Jacoby Brissett's last stand? Last chance to keep the job? Prove something. What does he have to do to keep the job? What would he have to do to lose the job? And here's a question for all of you on the phone, 617-779-7937. What are you rooting for this weekend? Is it better for the Patriots to get smoked, lose by two touchdowns, Brissett to turn it over twice so you can hand off to Drake May next week at home against the Dolphins? Or is it better to keep winning? Keep winning games, stay competitive, put off playing Drake May. What are you rooting for? What's a better situation for the Patriots? We'll get to all of that with your phone calls next.